All right, watch this. Here we go. The book of Acts. Father, thank you so much. We love you. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Bless everybody in this congregation, these on the wall, Father God, and on the cross, and those watching tonight, anybody that needs a prayer, we just thank you for meeting that need. And we just love you so much, Jesus. And I pray for the little children of America. Father God, I pray for heads of protection around the little ones. There's so much going on in this country, Father. And I ask that you continue to give law enforcement, government agencies, people in charge, authority and wisdom and insight to find these predators and find these, Father God, that are harming the little ones. It'd be better to tie a millstone around your neck and to cast into the sea than to harm these little ones. Father, let the millstones come. In Jesus' name, amen. We all just need to say that. All right, come Sunday and you'll hear some more. All right, the book of Acts, last time we got together. Our testimony as believers is more powerful than the authority of earthly kings. Why? Because it proves we serve the King of Kings. It proves that we serve the King of Kings. Amen? We need to remember that, so when we're in trials and tribulations and things are going on in our lives and we have people in authority over us, we just have to remember that our God reigns forever. The passion and zeal of our former life should pale in comparison to the passion and zeal of our new life in Christ. Again, I won't go over that and preach all over it, but it just needs to be repeated. If we were wild in our sinner days, then we need to be wild for Jesus. We really need to show people the fire and the passion. It doesn't mean we're fanatics and we do silly things and draw attention to ourselves. It just means that we'll step out and be bold and be full of faith in the things of God. So we need to get back to that passion. Our salvation experience does not end at I do. It must continue with I will. Our salvation experience doesn't end at I do. It's just like, being at that wedding this past Sunday, they said I do, and in my mind I'm thinking, no, you better say I will. I did. And you signed the contract, but now you got to go into I will. And that's where the Christian walk should be. And those of you that are married or been married a long time, you understand that principle that it becomes I will. And I will serve you. I will love you despite how you are and what's going on around me. So same thing with the salvation experience. We got to do that and continue forward in our relationship with God. Acts chapter 26, which was an awesome chapter, talked about Paul's defense of the gospel. And, I heard the Lord tell me this one time, because when I first got saved, and this is not from the last teaching, but I'm going to add it to tonight. But I remember when I first got saved, I was very defensive about the gospel. And, I always tried to defend points and doctrines and things like that until the Lord spoke to me one day and said, I don't need defending. I was like, ooh, ouch. But I thought that's what I had to do. I had to always be on the defense and, get into arguments and whatever. But see, Paul here, he wasn't, he didn't have to necessarily defend the gospel. He stood up for what was going on. He wasn't defending himself necessarily either. I mean, he was just laying out the testimony. And in a sense, that testimony was a defense. But it really, at the end of the day, God can take care of himself. At the end of the day, the word is going to stand true. And I think if we would just realize that and recognize that and just speak the word and then pray the word, and then back away and let God do what he's going to do instead of getting into a conflict. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Every one of us has, at one point in our life, has gotten in a conflict with somebody as far as the Bible's concerned. Wave at me if that's true, especially during the holidays with family, okay, or some type of event takes place. So in the world, and you try to explain eschatology, and some don't buy it. Okay, so he said he was happy to defend. He was glad. He had an opportunity. He speaks of his education. Then he talks about his conversion. He talks about how that he dealt with the Christians and those types of things that he had to deal with. And he goes on to speak about. He begins to speak to the king, and he says, hey man, you know about these religious things, you know about the things of the Jews. So he's able to speak to him, and which gave him a great platform because he had somebody there in agreement. Because remember, Festus or Porky. You like that, Carla? Doesn't that help you remember things a little bit? He didn't have the understanding because he was Roman. He had all these gods and the emperor and so on and so forth. So it gave Paul a great platform, okay, to be able to speak on the behalf of the word of God and give his testimony and those types of things. And then verse 24 through, I believe it's 32, we talked about the power of the truth and just an amazing thing that here King Agrippa almost became a believer. He almost made it. That's horrible, isn't it? That's horrible to almost make it. And I believe we're going to see in the judgment day a lot of people who almost made it. And I determined not to be an almost person. I don't want to do anything halfway. How about you? Especially when it comes to salvation, man, and relationship with God. I want to go all the way in zeal and fortitude and faith. Okay, for tonight, Kingdom Perspectives, the book of Acts. Here's a few things to write down. Life is more than just existing. It's a journey of adventurous faith. Life is more than just existing. It is a journey of adventurous faith. See, faith is adventurous. Faith with God is exciting. It's awesome when you turn a new chapter. It's kind of scary on one side. You know, when you make a move, you go into the unknown. You have a little bit of familiarity around you, but then you have the unknown. How's this going to work out? How's money going to come in? How's employment going to come? Where am I going to live? How am I going to, you know, where am I going to put my stuff? And then it's an adventurous journey with God, an adventurous faith, and it's exciting. And it's not without thrills or. You know, the concern of what's going to happen, but it's definitely an exciting adventure. And so we have to look at that. So life is more than just existing. It is a journey of adventurous faith. And I have to tell you, standing here, I love the walk of faith with God. I love the walk of faith with God. I love the fact that he doesn't always hand you everything. Some of y'all may have gotten everything in life, but he doesn't hand you everything. He allows you to work things out. He allows you to sleep a couple nights over something before he answers you. He may let, Sarah, you know what I'm talking about? It may be a couple weeks, a couple months, it may be whatever before he answers you. And he does it for a lot of reasons. But I believe the deepest reason why God does that is because he wants you to have a deep-rooted faith in him. Sometimes the longer that you wait, the stronger your faith and the greater your love is when you get the gift. Think about that. Think about Hannah. She wanted that baby. Finally, she made that vow to the Father. Is that right? She made the vow. What happened? She almost had to tell the Lord to stop. She kept receiving. Is that right? Absolutely. And so it's an adventurous faith, and there's no other type of life to live. All right, watch this. Knowing the voice of the Holy Spirit will not only bless your life, it will save your life. Knowing the voice of the Holy Spirit will not only bless your life, it'll save your life. Okay, and all this is going to be taken out into context and understanding here when we teach this. But yeah, man, the Holy Spirit blesses you. Absolutely, to hear his voice and to know what's going on and to hear things before it happens or to warn you and so many things that he does, that's a blessing. But you know what? If we would really hear his voice, one day it could save your life. Okay? There was people on 9/11 who were warned by the Holy Spirit not to be at certain places. Everybody knows stories. You might have a story, you know, where the Lord said, hey, why don't you not go that way today? Or not, don't take this vehicle, or don't do this. Or, how many of y'all know what I'm talking about? And the Holy Spirit helps you. And so we'll see that in this chapter here. And then finally, no matter the storms of life, stay in his boat. No matter the storms of life, stay in his boat. Very elementary, but you know what? Most of us, when we panic, we jump out. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, because we call everybody and their mother to tell them your problem. Let me go on this side of the church. We get a hold of everybody we possibly can to tell them our issues without going to God first. And before you know it, you know, we've jumped out of his arms. We've jumped out of what he wants to do for us because now we just blabbed it to everybody. We've gone on Facebook. We've gone on this and we've gone on that and told everybody. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with prayer partners, but why don't you spend a little time in prayer with God first and then wait on the Lord? That's still a powerful principle of waiting on the Lord. Okay? So that happens. And so, we got to, when storms come, let's go to the Father first. You know, Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the horses, all the king's horses, all the king's men, they couldn't put them back together again. Well, why didn't they go to the king? They went to the king's horses, the king's men, but didn't go to the king. He might have put Humpty back together again. All right. So Acts chapter 27. See that? You get a nursery rhyme here. You get a song. You get the whole deal. All right. Acts 27, verse 1. We are getting closer, y'all. We are getting closer. What number is this? Number how much, Joshua? Number 69. Man, we are moving along. And when it was determined that we should sail unto Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto them named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. So Paul's leaving Caesarea. He's leaving his place of encampment, entrapment, imprisonment, whatever you want to call it. In some cases, almost sounds like a resort in the fact that they were benevolent to him in certain ways. But, of course, he was in chains, so that's never fun or easy. But they began to sail off. And so we're going to talk about the journey here of the Apostle Paul and make some points about that and how practical it is to our lives. But I want this opening statement that I want you to hear this. This was one of the most... let me read this thing here, because this came from F.F. Bruce. If you're not familiar with the commentary of F.F. Bruce, which I'm going to give you that information at the end of the last chapter, a phenomenal New Testament commentary and scholar. But he said this, it was one of the most instructional documents for the knowledge of ancient seamanship, what we're about to read. Acts chapter 27. So it's not just a story of what happened with Paul. It is actually very well documented historically of what would happen during a time of crisis on the seas, or actually even the part of just having a journey. So I wanted you to know that just as from a historical point of view. It's pretty cool information. If you like history, some people say, well, I just like to get to the point. I like history too, because it gives you an understanding of what's going on. So check it out. Verse 2, and entering to the ship, a ship of Adorinthian, we launch, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, and Asteris, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. Do you remember that guy? He was with Paul on his third missionary journey. So here he is again with the Apostle Paul. And I like this point because there's a lot of people that hung out with Paul who wanted to hang out with Paul some more. I like that about the Apostle Paul, because when we get to the end of this, we're going to see how awesome he really was. If you haven't already figured that out, he was more than just a preacher. He was more than just a minister. He was an ambassador. You know, he was a friend of a friend. He was somebody you can trust, somebody you can put confidence in. So I just found that interesting that somebody from the past wanted to hang out with the Apostle Paul in this particular situation. In verse 3, and the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go into his friends to refresh himself. That's pretty amazing. Paul's a prisoner. He's headed to Rome. He's going to go see Nero. He's going to be in a lot of dire straits. A lot of issues are going to be facing him. But yet he had liberty to go hang out with some friends, probably to eat, maybe even to bathe or what have you. And I don't know about the other prisoners. I don't think they got the opportunity. So Paul had great favor, and it shows you a lot of the character of Paul that they were willing to let him go. Really, seriously, this is a Roman ship. This is you know, this guy Julius, if he is a centurion, he has at least 100 men under his command, at least 100 men. So this is the guy with a lot of authority, and he lets Paul go out. So Paul refreshes himself, and we had launched from thence. We sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed, look at verse 5 one more time. You can actually begin in verse 3, but look at verse, well, look at verse 3, look at verse 4, look at verse 5. They all said we, right? That's Luke. Now, this is cool because there was like 2-year silence of Luke. Luke was in and out of the story and the narrative of Paul writing, and now here he is again, and he's on the ship. This is amazing. Stop for a second and think about this, that God had his own biographer, if you will, a biographer, someone who could write with the Apostle Paul during this trip, who wrote a tremendous manuscript in Acts chapter 27 here of the journey and the history of what took place. I just find that awesome. And then to realize that they allowed him to go with Paul. How many prisoners do you know get a chaperone? No, right. You usually get the guy with a club or a shotgun or whatever. That's your chaperone. So that's an amazing thing. These are a lot of things we miss when we just run over these stories and we don't dissect this. We can see that Paul was a high caliber person. He was a high caliber person of character. He was a very, very polished person, if you will, of etiquette and stuff like that, that made him a great man. I'm looking forward to meeting the Apostle Paul. How about you? I think that'd be tremendous. He'll just have to try to pry me away from Jesus. Okay. So, and when he sailed over to, let's go to verse 5. And we had sailed over the sea of Sicia and Pamphylia. We came to Myra of the city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing unto Italy and put us therein. And when he had sailed, we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce we come over against Sidius. The wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmon. Well, I don't know why they couldn't put Lake Hartwell. That would be easier to say. Or Lake Russell. Or the Chattahoochee. I can say Chattahoochee River pretty good. Okay. And hardly passing it, came into a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto the city of Lasi. And when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them. Now, I'm going to stop right there. What was that about, the fast? That's the Day of Atonement. That's Yom Kippur. The period of time can be anywhere from the beginning or ending of, beginning of September somewhere into October. And so what was happening is there was a delay, and scholars don't know what the delay was because Luke didn't tell us. But when they were in Fair Havens, there was a delay for some reason because they should have been on the ocean by then. They should have been on the sea by then because winter was coming. And there's a time frame during the winter months in that region that there's no shipping done. There's no real sailing that takes place. And so they basically missed their window of opportunity, but I believe it was a setup. Let me try that again. They missed their window of opportunity, but I believe it was a setup from God. So I would write something like that down, that sometimes your things that you miss in life may be a setup for something else for you. It might be. So don't take everything so hard when things don't go like you think they should, because God has a plan. If you love him and you're on a journey of an adventurous faith, all you know and all you need to know is that God is for you. And if God be for you, who could be against you? If you think you should have went left and all of a sudden you go right and you had no purpose to intentionally disobey God, hang on. He'll get you to where you need to be. Okay? And we're going to see that through this last two chapters, 27 and 28. All right? But I wanted you to catch that point. Again, if you just read over this, you look at it historically, you're going to miss a great teaching point, okay, and a great life lesson. So now much time was spent. There was a dangerous thing. So the fast, again, was the Day of Atonement, all right? He knew the season. He knew where they were, and he said to them, Paul admonished them, verse 10, and he said to them, sirs, I perceive the voyage will be with what? Hurt. King James says hurt, okay? Is it going to be with hurt or with injury, the ladings and ship, but also of our lives. So basically, he had what? He had a word of wisdom. You're watching prophetic gifts in operation. He had a word of wisdom. He saw something that nobody else saw. He knew something that nobody else knew. And God infused upon him and within him that spirit of wisdom, that nugget of truth to warn them of what was going to happen. Okay? Again, hearing the Spirit of the Lord, hearing his voice will bless your life, but it also will save you. It'll save you if you listen to him. That's why we need to fine-tune our hearing of the Lord so that we don't miss it. And again, maybe the Lord is telling you not to do a certain thing. Maybe he's telling you not to hook up with somebody in business or what have you. All of us could just say, man, if I would have listened to the Lord, I wouldn't be in a lot of situations I've been in. That's right. And so this is a great teaching point as well. So nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those that were words that were spoken by Paul, those things which were spoken by Paul. Isn't that just like people who don't want to listen to a preacher? Amen. Or somebody that is spiritually led, or somebody that's over you, or somebody that can see something that you can't see. Again, we go back to our past, and how many times somebody said, you know, you shouldn't do that. Shut up. Next thing you know, you're walking with a limp or whatever because you didn't listen. You got hurt, or, you know, you ended up in a bad situation. Especially our parents, man. They tried to lead us and teach us, but we would not listen, would we? Oh, I got some other knuckleheads in the house. Okay, I got you. I mean, seriously, we just wouldn't listen, man. And it's the same thing with the Spirit of God. So many times we just ignore that still small voice and we say, no, I can do this. I'm going to do it on my own. And then we get in trouble. Okay, but anyways, they didn't want to listen to the preacher. And because the haven was not commodious or was not convenient, it wasn't fixed, it wasn't ready to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if anybody by any means they might attain to Phoenix, and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lieth towards the southwest and southeast and southwest. So they're like, you know what? This isn't convenient for me. Here's another teaching point. Sometimes the place God wants you to sit and stay and rest may not be the best. It may not be. Your life right now may not be exactly where you want it to be. You have a dream and a vision from God to go further and be somewhere else. But God says, you know what? I want you to rest right here. No, I'm not going to, because that's not my vision. It's just like people serving in the church. They say, well, I'm going to be this great evangelist. Okay, well, here's a toilet bowl brush. No, that is beyond. I mean, you know, that's so little. I can't do that. I'm supposed to be Billy Graham. I'm supposed to be this. I'm supposed to be that. I know I'm talking about, for many years in ministry, we've seen people do that. And maybe they were going to be the next great evangelist. But right now, the toilets are clean or dirty, and you need to clean them. You need to. Are you here? So we need to learn that lesson in life, that sometimes on our journey to greatness, on our journey to wherever God wants us to be, when I say greatness, I don't mean success and the stupid stuff people talk about. Greatness to me is obeying God. Because I'm great in God's eyes when I obey him, and even the littlest of children can be great by obeying him. But I'm talking about, you know, if the promises of God are beyond where I am right now, I have to be content. I have to be content in where he's placed me. I have to be content in the issue of my life, you know. And we miss that so many times because the world pushes us to go after things beyond our reach. That's why we're in debt. Man, I want to preach so hard right now. That's why we're in debt. We should be living in a 1,200 square foot home, but we got to live in a 2,500 square foot home, and we can't afford it. But we can throw the football across the living room. Big stinking deal. You can't even keep the lights on. Well, let me move on. That's Sunday morning. But isn't it true? And it's a life point. They didn't want to listen to the man of God. He had a prophetic revelation. Okay, he wasn't just atmospheric and weather-wise. He didn't have the Weather Channel app on his iPad or phone or whatever. He knew by the Holy Ghost, this ain't good. But they said, you know what? It's not good enough for us to stay here, so we're going to get on out of here. So how many Christians do that and you miss God? Let me try that again. How many Christians do that and you miss God because we want to run on and do something different because this isn't what we want or whatever it is in our life, and we get disgruntled with God. It's like Joseph. You promised me the palace, but I'm in the pit. You promised me the palace, but I'm in the prison. You promised me the palace, but I'm in Potiphar's house. Well, you shut your mouth, I'm going to get you there, son. Did he get there? Yeah, he got there. He got there with bruises, but he got there. All right. He never promised you a rose garden, did he? Verse 13. And when the south wind blew softly, watch this, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close to Crete. Great, great narrative here. Luke is laying it out. They thought they had the wind. You ever had somebody like that again in their life thinking they had the wind? The wind's behind us. God is for me, and this is what he wants me to do. And then they become shipwrecked. We knew people in Bible college, you know, this is what I'm supposed to go do. And they run out there and try to do it, and they fall on their face because they thought God was with them. You got to be careful about that. You better know the Spirit of God and what he's trying to tell you of what to do, okay? So they thought they were going to do this thing, but not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclidon. And there's another one. Some of your Bibles say Gilio. It's a Greek and Latin word put together. It basically just means a type of east and northeast wind. It's almost like a hurricane, but they say it's a typhoon, which is a hurricane, or a tornado. So different definitions. For me, I'm just going to say it was a hurricane. It was bad. But notice this. When they should have listened to the prophetic voice, they should have listened to the apostle, they should have listened to the man of God, they would not listen, so they felt they had the wind behind them. The wind's beneath my wings. You know, I'm going to be successful. I'm going to be all these things, right? And next thing you know, what happens? Here comes a storm. Moral of that story is if we just sit where God tells us to sit, we wouldn't get involved in a storm, okay? There's some storms we could avoid. So, but there's a plan. God still had a plan through all this, and that's some of his thinking we don't quite understand, because there are times I don't understand God. I'm sorry, I know you guys are theologians, you know everything about him. Sometimes there's some things I don't understand about him. Sometimes I think he's a mad scientist, and I'm in a test tube. Sometimes I don't understand why he does what he does, but I accept it. How's that? That pretty good? Because that's true faith. True faith doesn't say I have it all figured out. True faith says this: I will walk wherever you go. Wherever you lead me, I will go. I can't see it, but I believe you. So I don't understand everything that he does. I'm trying to. And when we get to heaven, we'll know it all, right? So watch this. Verse 15. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And that, in other words, again, that's great terminology right there. He basically was saying the wind came. They couldn't handle the rudders. Brother Ken, they just let it drive. They let the boat go. Okay? They let it go. In other words, they didn't know what they was doing. And running under a certain island that is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat. So what that means is you look at that, you say, what does that mean? We have much work to do, come by the boat. Basically, they had a towboat behind them. Most of the boats had a towboat. In case there was ever an emergency, you can get inside that boat. Well, that towboat obviously was taken on water. And if it's taken on water, then it acts like an anchor. If it acts like an anchor, you're going to sink. So the best thing to do is get rid of the towboat. Okay, there's a moral to that story. There's some things in your life that's baggage you need to get rid of. Sometimes a storm comes in your life to let you realize you got some baggage to get rid of. I'm about to preach. It's so true for all of us. And sometimes it's only in that storm. Because in the peaceful time, we don't really worry about the baggage. Because, you know, we got baggage handlers. We have baggage handlers. We have people who enable us to carry our baggage. We have friends who help us. You know, what happens when a storm comes? Well, you usually lose your friends during a storm because everybody's going to find shelter. So it's just you and your baggage. And so in this understanding is that whenever the storms come, God allows us to see things. And here's the problem. We get under condemnation by the devil thinking the storm came for us because we're so bad or what have you, or because of the baggage. And that's the devil's way of tricking us. No, it is God's way of saying, listen, I want to deal with that baggage. I want to help you with that baggage, because where you're going, you can't take this. Where you're going on this trip, you cannot take this extra load. And so a storm will let you know that. Isn't that good? Because I'm going to tell you something right now. If a storm comes through this community anytime soon, we're all going to find out how ready we are. We're going to find out if the emergency services work good in this area. We're going to find out, did you have enough kerosene? Did you have batteries? Did you have fuel, as your pastor has told you for almost a million years? Food or what have you? Are you prepared? Do you have a chainsaw? Do you have this? Do you have that? So a storm helps you understand where you are, but it also helps you clean out some of the old stuff, okay? Good, right? It's the truth, and it's something that we all need to do. All right, so where was I? Verse 17. And when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, struck sail, and so were driven. So you could see a fast maneuver. And we were being exceedingly tossed with a tempest. The next day, they lightened the ship. So they started throwing some stuff off. And the third day, they cast out over the hands the tackling of the ship. Now it's getting serious. This is three days. I don't know if anybody in here has really spent a lot of time on the boats. I've been on a little bit, not much. You know, I'm seaworthy or anything like that, but I couldn't imagine 3 days on that boat just being tossed and churned. And wow, man, there was a movie called The Perfect Storm. I don't know if anybody's seen it. I don't recommend seeing it. I guess it's got some language in it, but the whole purpose was, it's a true story. They were in Massachusetts, wasn't it? Three hurricanes had come together to make one storm. And it was an incredible feat. Of course, you know, they obviously died in the movie, but just to see how they had to handle the storms and maneuver was an amazing. I can imagine Paul in that same situation for 3 days. Okay, so now they're starting to panic. And the third day, we cast out with our hands the tackle of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. Think about that for a second. This is how huge this hurricane was, this tempest was, that for 3 days they didn't see the sun, or for many days they didn't see the sun and the stars. I've been in storms, but I've never been in a storm like that. Have you? Not for that many days. You know, usually there'll be a break in the clouds and you'd see it. What a massive storm. It must have just sat on the coast and just spun and spun and spun. You ever been like that in real life? I mean, all of a sudden you go into a storm and you're thinking, okay, this is going to go away. Day number two. This is going to go away, man. Day number three. I mean, however many days it was. This is going to go away, and it doesn't go away. It's kind of like having your in-laws over. It just... Ba-dum-bum, psh. Thank you, Sue, for that drum roll. I mean, it does. Oh, whatever. I pick on my in-laws. You could pick somebody. Pick anybody. You know, it's like having pastor come visit or something like that. Well, you know, yeah, just they love me. They actually told me they love me very much, so I feel good. All right. So check this out. And they don't watch on Wednesdays anyway, so I can shred them on Wednesdays. Just an amazing thing. Nothing, and they lost all hope. Wow, they lost all hope. But after the long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, and have not loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss." So here, watch this. Now, when you see this transition, Paul goes from a prisoner to the leader. That's what a true leader does. A true leader rises above all the stuff. The true leader rises even when they're low. The true leader rises even when things are heaped on them. They rise above it, and they don't go to the same level of those around them, and they show their leadership ability. And that's what Paul did. And I wrote that in my notes because that's very powerful, from a prisoner to a leader. What are we going to be in times of trouble? What are we going to be in times of conflict? Are we going to go as low as them, or are we going to become leaders and lead? Because I'm going to tell you right now, you don't realize this, okay? And this is not singular as just your pastor, but you all in the coming days are going to be leading people. In the coming days, you're going to be helping people. In the coming days, you're going to be in the storm clouds, you know, putting your hand out for rescue, and you have to have a steady hand. You, not that you have everything together because you're wonderful, but you have been trained. You have been trained through the storms by the Holy Spirit, that when these people come from all over, and they're coming, they are coming here. They're coming to you, those that are watching on live stream. They're already coming to various people saying, help me, I don't know what to do. We've got to be able to have that answer and give them hope. Okay, and that's what Paul did. He rose above all that. You know, Paul didn't have to do that. He could have just sat right there and said, you know what, you figure it out. You bunch of meanie peenies. You guards, you policemen, you authorities, you figure it out. But Paul wasn't that way. Okay? He was an awesome man of God, led by the Holy Spirit. So watch verse 22. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Just like a preacher, isn't it? All hell's breaking loose in your life. Praise God be to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You're going to get through it. Amen. We're going to pray for you. God's with you, for you, not against you. Who could ever be against you? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Take the shield of faith and quench every fiber dart, and you're going to win every battle. God bless you. Send me a check. You know, and you're like, doesn't he know my puppy just got ran over? Doesn't he care? Oh, you guys are too much. Isn't it true? You got friends like that. You call them up, you kind of tell them your issue, and they're just like, well, praise be to God, Jesus, you're still alive, you're breathing, you got all your fingers, don't you? Your toes are still there, you're alive, aren't you? And you're just like, did you hear a word I said? They took my car. Well, praise God, you got 2 feet, don't you? Praise God, 10 toes, everything's working out. True, right? So here he is. I just think that's hilarious. Watch this. And be of good cheer. Thanks, Paul. There's a reason you're a prisoner and I'm holding the sword. I exalt you to be of good cheer. And there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Can you guys put yourself in this position? Please try with me and just, you know, take your mind off the midnight snack you're going to have before you when you get home. But think about this. They've been in a storm. They're in a hurricane. It's been many days, no stars, no sun, no nothing, pitch black. They're throwing everything out. They're throwing everything out. They've lost all hope. And here's the man of God saying, I told you, don't do it, but you did it. But hey, be glad. It's going to be great. That's insanity, but that's what faith does. That's insane to the normal mind. But that's what faith does. Faith rises above it all and says, you know what? You can freak out if you want, but I'm not going to. I have faith in God that he's going to take care of us, okay? It's still kind of psychotic, don't you think? It's a little bipolar. It's a little kind of weird, but that's the way it is. And you know what? That's the way we're going to be in these coming days. We're already that way. We're already that way. That's why so many people that God has given us an opportunity to minister to, in which we give him all the praise, honor, and glory, because we're coming at people with a steady hand. We're coming with faith and love and hope. We're not freaking out. We're letting people know what's going on, but we're telling them the hope of Jesus Christ. We're telling them the hope that in these last days we can survive. It's going to be rough, but we're tough in Christ, and we're going to make it. We're going to get through it. I'd rather hear that than some preacher freaking. Listen, if the preacher freaks out, you're in trouble. If the preacher freaks out, if the Christian freaks out, you're in trouble. So Paul, that's hilarious. He's laying it out, and that's just Paul, because we've seen, and think about this, one last thing, I'll get off this thing, this issue here, but think about all the H-E double hockey sticks that Paul has been through. That's for censorship, by the way. Think about all that Paul has been through. This is like, really? Do you know how many times he pulls his shirt up? He says, you know how many times I've been beaten? Look at that scar. That's Jerusalem. Let me show you Greece. You know what I mean? And this is nothing, okay? All right, so I think that that matters for you and I, because we're going to be that way in our storms. So he says this, verse 23. He gave him the faith in verse 22, but 23 says, "For there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought unto Caesar, and to God hath given thee all them that are with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer." Okay, now think about this. He's talking about seeing angels. Y'all not getting it. He's talking about angels. These guys are freaking out, and you're seeing angels? Unbelievable. I guarantee their minds could not comprehend that. He said, you're going to go speak, and everybody's going to be fine. Verse 25, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island." Here's another word of wisdom. "And when the 14th night," everybody say 14. "The 14th night was come." That's a long time, isn't it? "And they were driven up and down in Adria. About midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms." Now, phantoms, should be about 6 feet, something like that. So they felt they were getting closer. So you do the math. And then they said 15, and they sound the alarm. And then verse 29, "Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the dry," or for the day. They wanted the day to come up. "And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, then they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, Except thee abideth where? In the ship. You cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day that we have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing." Now imagine that, 14 days of not eating. So you've been in a major hurricane. All right, you're going through all these things. You're throwing off all the equipment out of the boat. 14 days you haven't eaten nothing. And you got a preacher standing up, "Praise God, everything's going to be fine. I just saw an angel." Who don't believe in angels. You know, I mean, they didn't understand all this stuff. An amazing trip. And God has a sense of humor. There's no doubt about that. But watch this now. So he's walking in authority. "Wherefore, I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not be a hair fall upon the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took the bread and he gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then they were of all good cheer, and they took some meat." So here Paul, he goes from prisoner to leader, and now he's having communion with them. I mean, he's basically having a service with them. Okay? An amazing thing. Greatness always rises up in the time of pressure. Greatness always rises up in the time of pressure. If you have greatness in you, and all of you do, because Christ lives in you. You may have the weakness in your mind that doesn't make you think you're great, and that's part of deception from your enemy or from your upbringing or your past problems or abuses or whatever. But if you would learn how to wash your mind with the word and recognize and realize what God says about you, then greater is he that is in you. Do you see that? And you override your mind and the problems and the abuses and the bruises and the past traumas, and you begin to believe it and confess it and say, "Hey, greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. Yes, I've been through hell and back, but back is better." You know? And this is where greatness rises up. Greatness doesn't rise up because you have a name, a title, blah, 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 blah. Greatness comes from the realization of who God says you are and having the faith and courage to confess it and believe it and then watch it happen. Okay? All right, so let's give me a few more minutes and I'll finish up this chapter. And they were in the ship 260 souls, so 276 By most accounts, that would be the true number. You say, why did Luke put 276 people? Because somebody had to count how much bread to give out. Somebody had to count, you know, to feed everybody. So that was the count. 276 people. That's a lot of people to be in charge of, by the way. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land which was discovered, a certain creek with a shore. They didn't know what it was. I kind of think that it was Gilligan's Island. I'm not going to preach that, but I think they were headed to Gilligan's Island personally. But don't tell anybody, but that's what I'm thinking. Who knows? Unto which they were minded, and if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. So they wanted to get in there. They wanted to see Gilligan, the skipper too. And when they had taken up the anchors, they continued or committed themselves into the sea and loosed their rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made towards shore and falling into a place where two seas met. So it was a very tumultuous part. They ran the ship aground, and the fore part stuck fast, and they remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken. So you can imagine it stuck in, and then bam, it broke with the violence of the waves, and the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. Because remember, in Roman custody, if you were a guard and your prisoner escaped, that means your life was lost too. You die for the loss of a prisoner. So they thought, you know what? Hey, if we die, they're going to die too. Or if they get loose, they're going to die. So it goes on to verse 43. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept him from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And it came to pass that they escaped all safe to the end. Now that right there will preach. Some of us in the last days are going to swim towards eternity. Some of us in the last day are going to hold on to broken boards and pieces of the ship, but we're all going to make it to the end. So no matter what comes our way, no matter what storms in life come, hang on to the boat. Stay in the boat as much as you can. Hang on to the things of God, even if it's just pieces of his word. Because sometimes that's the way our life is, in turmoil and in chaos, is all we have is one scripture. How many of y'all have one scripture? You don't have to tell me what it is, but just raise your hand. And those live stream, just raise it and I'll wave it. But how many of y'all have one scripture you hold on to? It's your bedrock scripture. We all do. We love a lot. We love the Bible, but there's one that we grab hold of, especially at times in trouble. And we quote that scripture, right? Well, I believe that's the way we should be when it comes to life and the situations we face is just in faith. We grab hold of the Word of God and we say, you know what? This boat has destroyed. This thing is sinking. This world is going crazy. But you know what? I'm holding on to the Word of God. I'm holding on to His promises. Father, thank you so much for the story. Thank you for having Luke be a part of this great trip. Great for us to read about it, but I'm sure it was beyond imagination how horrible it must have been for the Apostle Paul and for the 276 souls. Movies have been written and try to recopy these type of events, but this is an incredible, true historical fact, and so many life lessons that are here. Thank you for leaving it in Acts chapter 27 so we can learn. Father, I pray for everybody that's going through a storm right now. They just don't understand. Some people are throwing things overboard, loosening things in their lives, losing some things. But Father, I know that you're the captain of our salvation and the captain of our soul. And Lord Jesus, you will lead us to higher ground, safer ground, into the safe harbor of your arms. And I know you're going to make a way for everybody that's listening tonight. We love you, Father. Bless us over this next couple of days. And we look forward to Sunday morning here at Ignited. In Jesus' name, amen.